Let everybody say amen again. God has been good once again. He didn't have to leave us here, but He has left us here for at least a portion of another day. And if you don't think that that's wonderful, think of the alternative. We could have been 6 feet underground, but yet we are here. So we need to be eternally grateful to the Lord for all that He has done for us. And there, you know, there are people who say, well, when I get up in the morning. But see, when you go to bed at night, you have an expectation of getting up, but that doesn't mean you're going to get up. You've got to rely on the Lord to get you up. And when the Lord gets you up, when He wakes you up, the first thing you ought to do is just say, thank you, Lord. Because God is good in all of His mercies, all of His love, and all of His grace toward us. Let us take a moment to go to God in prayer. This morning, our Heavenly Father, as we approach Thy throne of grace, You gave us the opportunity and You have given us another opportunity. You gave it to us up front. Now You're giving it to us again, O Lord, that we can come boldly to Your throne of grace. We thank You, O Lord, that You have blessed us and that You have seen us through to this point in our lives. And Father, we just know that our time is running out, but Father, we just want to serve You and do what we can while we can, as best as we can. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, that You have left those who are here this morning in our presence, that they had the fortitude, the willpower, and the strength to get up, come out from their houses, and come to Your house, O Lord. We thank You this morning for that, as well as many other blessings, O Lord, and as we get into the time when people think that this is the only time of the year that we're supposed to be thankful, we as Christians know that we are to be thankful all times, every day, and every moment of every year. Thank You, O Heavenly Father. I pray and ask You this morning, Father, to be with those who are in attendance here this morning. Be with those who are unable to be here this morning. Be with those who may still be on their way. We pray that they would get here without any harm or danger. We pray for those who may be traveling this morning. We pray that they would have safe journeys to and from their destination. We come at this time, O Heavenly Father, praying for the churches of Christ, but in particular this local congregation. We pray this morning that the things that we have done and said so far have been acceptable in Thy sight. And we pray that everything that we do this morning, O Lord, that if You find favor in them, that You would accept our worship to You, O Lord. We pray this morning for our elders and their families, and we pray and ask You to strengthen them and be with them, O Heavenly Father. Then, my Heavenly Father, we pray for the brothers who have taken a part in this service, in these services thus far. We pray for them and their families as well. And we pray for each and every member this morning. We just pray a prayer of thanksgiving because they are still with us, O Lord. And we understand, O Heavenly Father, that things happen and death shall come. And just help us, O Lord, to be ready to accept whenever Your will is. We thank You this morning, Father, for those who are caring for one another, especially when they're caring for the sick and the shut in. We pray and thank You for a hand in letting them care for those who are sick. And we pray, Father, for those who may be in the hospital, that if it be Your will, that You would allow them to get up once again and come out. And if they're members of the body, O Lord, that they will be able to come back to the body. We pray this morning, O Heavenly Father, and ask You to be with parents and children all over the world, husbands and wives all over the world. And we just pray, O Lord, that You would give them the ability to recognize that how great You are. Thank You, O Heavenly Father. And Lord, we pray this morning and thank You for Your Son, Jesus. Because without His coming down here, without His going to the cross and then going back up there, where would we be, O Heavenly Father? Thank You, Lord. Then, my Heavenly Father, we pray for those who rule our lands all over the place, that if it be Your will, that You would give them the courage and the wisdom to know that You are God and that Your rules cannot be but broken and cannot be but forsaken, Father. But we must learn to accept Your will, and we must do Thy will. Father, we ask the blessings upon all of those who are without this morning. And we pray for them that they would be able to receive their blessings, O Lord. And we thank You for all the blessings You have given us. Father, as we approach that continue to stand at that throne, O Heavenly Father, and approach the rest of these services, O Lord, we pray that everything would be done decently and in order. And we ask you, O Heavenly Father, to be with us all. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask these blessings this morning. Let us all say amen. This morning from the second book of Timothy. The chapter is number 4, and the verses as were read for your hearing are verses 1 through 8. We want to take this morning and this opportunity this morning to speak from a message entitled Preaching God's Word. Christians everywhere have come to know that the Word of God is the book we must live by if we are ever to get to heaven. And let me stop myself because I almost forgot. I've been asked by someone to, Sister and Brother Lewis, to thank the church for all of your prayers on their behalf. So the Brother and Sister Lewis, we thank you, O Lord, that they are still here, and we thank the church for their prayers. But anyway, if we are ever to get to heaven, we need to consider the Word of God. Some religions have tried to fool their people with diluted versions of the Word. Some speak and teach man's doctrine, and some even distort the Word of God. But in the end, it can only cause the people to go astray, and if they don't recover themselves, they will find their eternity to be a much less desirable place. In the text for today, we find the old soldier Paul giving instructions or charging, if you will, a young Timothy to preach the gospel. And this still applies to preachers today. And let us take a few minutes and observe this text, if you will. I'm not going to be long this morning, but if I happen to run a little longer, just stick with me this morning, if you will. When you think about it this morning, God's Word is the best thing that ever happened to us. Especially as the best thing that ever happened to us as Christians. When you consider God's Word and then you look at the alternative to God's Word, it's not very pleasing when you think about it. Too often it happens that they don't preach God's Word. So this morning we must preach it from the Bible. We must preach God's Word and then make sure that it doesn't come from the newspaper but from the Bible instead. Too often many men try to frame new meanings to the gospel in their attempts to bring a catchy sounding message to their people. In doing so, they distort the real gospel. It was in Galatians chapter 1, around about verse number 6 and verse number 7, where the man of God spoke in God's gospel and he penned these words. He said, I marvel. In other words, I'm amazed that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto a different gospel. But I want you to notice verse number 7, if you will, which is not another, but there may be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Oh, there are perverted people out there today. There are people who try to change God's Word. If we look further into this, we find that this is being directed to those churches due to their shakiness in the faith when this text was written. It was written because they were loose and kind of shaky, and they wasn't standing on the Word of God. Their troubles had begun for them, and they didn't know which way to turn. He found them to be turning away from the very same God who brought them to where they were at. But they were so soon removed, or if you will, had ran into a weakness of their faith. How many times have Christians of today become unsteady or weak in the gospel? And then when they go to some of their preachers, they many times find the preachers are just as weak as they are. A weakness in them as well. I heard something on TV on the news just a couple of weeks ago where they interviewed several preachers, and all of them said that they had lost faith in what they were doing, and they didn't believe half of what they stood up in the pulpit and talked about. And I found that to be very disturbing, because if you don't believe it, why say it? If you don't believe it, why would you preach it to your people? If you don't believe it, you need to step out of the way and let someone who cares enough to preach God's Word in its entirety take over. Yes, the preacher is human. Yes, he can become slow and disillusioned. But he needs to remember what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, around about verse number 17. It says, we must speak
speak we in Christ in the sight of God?
How does a preacher teach his people what he doesn't know or what he doesn't believe in himself? We must teach the people to hear the gospel when they want to hear it in season, and even when they don't feel they have a need to hear it, out of season, if you will. We have to tell them anyway. We have to let them know that even though you don't feel the need to hear the Word of God, tell them that they may need it today, later on today, if they don't need it at that hour. The preacher may face many disappointments. Just like you, the preacher faces disappointments. Just like you, the preacher faces heartaches. And just like you, the preacher has troubles at his hand. And sometimes the preacher's plate is fuller than most of your plate because he's trying to bear the troubles of himself, his family, and the church family as well. But he must still continue to preach God's Word. He may cry himself to sleep at night because no one cares that he has these heartaches. But yet, these troubles that he has, he must learn to endure these troubles, and he must learn to preach the biblical gospel that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, around verses number 3 and verse number 4. He said, "For first of all I delivered unto you, first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." It wasn't according to a newspaper publication. It wasn't according to the latest Yahoo News on the Internet, but it was according to the Scriptures. Isn't that right, church? If it's not according to the Scriptures, it's not the gospel. If it's not the gospel of Christ, then we are preaching the wrong word. If it's not the gospel of Christ, then I'm telling you something that I should not be telling you. Not only must we preach it from the Bible, but we must learn to preach it boldly. A timid preacher will always have a timid church. When the church can't stand boldly on the Word of God, something is wrong. And I'll tell you right now, it's not the Word of God that's wrong. When something is wrong in the church, when something is wrong in the church, there's some kind of breakdown with the leadership. When something is wrong in the church, there's something wrong with somewhere in that link of the leadership. It may be in the the preacher's fault, it may be the deacon's fault, it may even be the elder's fault. But it's somebody's fault when something is wrong in the church house. When we can't stand boldly on the Word of God, we got to understand that something is really wrong. In Acts chapter 9, around verse number 27 and verse number 29, we find a witness telling of how that Paul preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And then in verse 29, how that he spoke boldly in the name of Jesus and disputed against the Greeks. Oh yeah, sometimes the preacher have to tell you you're wrong. Sometimes the preacher has to inform you that you must, sometimes the preacher has to inform the congregation, and he must speak out against that which is wrong. He must speak out to that and present to his people the Word of God, even when it doesn't seem like the most expedient thing to do. When the preacher fails to tell you, when the preacher fails to tell you that, he's not allowing you in your light to continue to shine. When the preacher doesn't tell you that you need to let your light shine, something is wrong. And I know there are folks that say, "Well, I don't need the preacher to tell me that let my light shine." Well, yes, you do. Sometimes you get weak and sometimes your light bulb gets dim. And when the light grows dim, guess what happens? If you don't change it, it'll go out every time. And so as Christians, when the preacher tells us that we've got to let our light shine, when he sees a light that's not shining, he's supposed to make you aware of that. When the preacher fails to tell you that, then the preacher is guilty himself. The Bible teaches us in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15 to study God's Word. When he fails to tell you to study God's Word, then he's not preaching God's Word. He's not preaching boldly. It was Joseph of Arimathea that came boldly unto Pilate in Mark chapter 15 and verse 43. And he asked for the body of Jesus. We can't come boldly today asking to have the body of Jesus given to us, but certainly we can come and ask that to become a part of His body. When you think about it, church, when you look at it, in Acts chapter 19, we find again Paul speaking boldly of the things concerning the kingdom of God. He taught them things that we must be taught and learn today as well. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16, we are told, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the cross." As preachers of God's word, we must boldly preach to our people, boldly that they may not only know Him, but that they might not be ashamed to proclaim Him to others. You know, a lot of folk are under a misconception. The only one that's supposed to preach God and mention God is the preacher. But we're all ministers, and we all need to make sure that we are letting others know about the Word of God. And there are those who say, "Well, I would do it, but that's the job of the preacher." Well, that's your job too. That's your job too. And then in verse number 3 and verse number 4 of 2 Timothy, we find a warning of things that may come into the churches. They came into those churches, and they are still creeping into our churches today. There are many today who have not allowed their minds, who have allowed their minds to be corrupted. Oh, you know what a corrupted mind will do? A corrupted mind can send you off on the wrong path. A corrupted mind can make you do something that you wouldn't normally do. How many times have you thought about doing something, but that little part in your mind, in God's heart, in the heart of God, tells you that's not the right thing to do? But a corrupted mind will say, "I'm going to do it anyway." A corrupted mind is not a good thing to have. Do you remember on the day of Pentecost what would have happened in Acts chapter 2 if Peter and Noah and the others had not stood up and boldly proclaimed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? It was in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 36 where the Bible says, "Jesus, whom you have crucified, is both Lord and Christ." They were not ashamed. They were not ashamed that they couldn't get up and speak the word boldly, the word of God. But there are those who have corrupted minds. They'd rather believe in a lie than to believe God's truth. This is why we must preach the gospel in its truth. Look at 2 Timothy verses number 3 and verse number 4. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables." How many times have people said, "That just doesn't sound like that's what God means"? How many times have you heard people say that that's not what He meant? I just don't think that that's right. Well, you know what? Thinking is dangerous for some people. Thinking is really dangerous for some people. Thinking is dangerous enough to send a person to hell if they're not careful. But we must preach God's gospel boldly, and we must allow it to be preached at all times. For there are those who grow weary of the old-fashioned biblical gospel, and God's word will always find the answer. I'd rather have the old-fashioned gospel than to have the untruth of the new-fashioned gospel any day. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the verses 11 and 12, look what the Bible has an answer, how the Bible will answer that. "And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe in a lie." But then you need to notice this part, "that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Oh, there's a way out, Lord. There's a way out, church. There's a way out. There's a way, a place, and a time. But God's word is always in fashion. God's word is always should be on the mind of a Christian. A Christian should always think that God should always know that God has his back as long as he is truthful to God. In other words, those who do not love the truth, God will punish them. But as Christians, we must go on teaching and preaching God's truth, his love, and his gospel. We must preach it without addition or subtraction. God has already posted his word. We as preachers, teachers, and students must learn to live by this if we are have an intent on making heaven our home. And if I took a poll in here this morning, if I asked everybody in here this morning who doesn't want to go to heaven,
I don't think I'd get many hands. But on the other hand, if I turned around and asked who intends on going to heaven, I think I'd get the most hands. So if you intend on going to heaven, there's some directions given to us on getting to heaven. And that's God's Word. And that's why we as preachers must teach it without any addition or without any subtraction. We must teach it the way it is written. Now that doesn't mean that I can't come up here and give you an interpretation of God's Word as long as I'm on track with the interpretation. I can't tell you that God's Word means one thing and then it means something completely different. I should be at least close to the interpretation. But since I don't know everything, sometimes I can make a mistake too. But God's Word has only one meaning, and that's His true meaning. God doesn't need any of us to try to change what He has already said. Notice in Revelation chapter 22 in the verses number 18, where the Bible says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add him unto the plagues that are written in this book." But then I want you to notice verse number 19 as well. It says also, "And if any man shall take away from the words of this prophecy, God shall take away his out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Oh, you got to stick with the Scripture. You got to stick with the book. And you got to do it without addition or subtraction. So when I think about it, when I go back to the text this morning, where it says in verse number 5, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." When he wrote this, what he was talking about, he was telling this young preacher, you've got to be ready to do good in all cases. In other words, you've got to be ready to endure some things that are going to come your way, but you still must boldly and preach the gospel and do it without addition or subtraction. Preach truth and be watchful, in other words. Find opportunities to do the work of the Lord. That's what an evangelist does. He makes full proof of his ministry. He performs with care, and even through tough times, he learns to bring the Lord's Word to those who are in need of the Word of God, that others may see the Lord in him. I tell you something about being a preacher. When it comes to being a preacher, people hold you in a different light. They figure that it's okay if I do something wrong, but you are not supposed to do anything wrong, and you are never wrong. But that's not true. The preacher can get himself into trouble just like you can. The preacher finds himself sometimes standing a guilty distance from God's throne just like you can. Don't be surprised when you see a preacher fall. Just pray for him and try to help him get back up. Pray, you know, we are to pray for others like the Bible tells us. But there are those who don't think that they need to pray for anybody but themselves. You know, I tell you often, you pray for me and I'm going to pray for you. But even if you don't pray for me, I'm still going to pray for you. Well, I mean that. If you do harm to me, I'm still going to pray for you. If you do something bad to me, I'm still going to pray for you. If I don't like you, I'm still going to pray for you. See, the Bible didn't use the term "I have to like you," but it used the term that "I have to love you." And see, I don't have to like what you do, but I have to love what you are. And if you are a child of God, God says, "I have to love you and pray for you." And too many times, too many folk have gotten it a little bit confused, and they have considered, well, since I don't know him that well, I don't need to pray for him. Since I don't like him especially well, I don't need to pray for him. Since I don't care about him, I don't need to pray for him. But that's not listening and hearing God's gospel. You've got to listen to God's gospel and not add your opinion to it. So as the preacher is supposed to make full proof of his ministry, he learns in tough times to bring the word of God to those that may be standing in need. Then when that time comes, he can say, as a good soldier of the Lord, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." He can say just what the old soldier is saying here in the book of 2 Timothy. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. But look at verse number 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that also, that love His appearing. Now what is He saying there? He is saying that if you do right, you can seek this crown of righteousness. If you do wrong, you got some problems on your hand. And there are those who don't think that they're never going to die. But I got some news for you. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27. It tells you that you are going to die. You have an appointment with death and a judgment that's soon to come. One day is going to come. And I tell you something, when we as preachers lead our people astray and tell them things like, you don't have to worry about being baptized. You can just meet the Maker without being baptized. Something is wrong with that. That's not speaking boldly. That's not speaking without addition or subtraction. That's not speaking from the Bible. I tell you, church, we've got to go back to God's gospel, the old fashioned or the old paths, as it's called. We need to go back there. If you're not there yet today, today is a good day to make a change or a rededication to the Lord's way. The preaching of God's word has never been and will never be something to take lightly. And as I bring this message to a close, I told you I wouldn't be too long this morning. As I bring this message to a close, I'm often amazed at how some people treat the word of God. Some people treat the word of God as though it's something that's not going to stand forever. They treat the Word of God as something that to be taken lightly. You know, when people get married, that's one of the things that they say in most marriage ceremonies, that you're not to take this wedding lightly. Isn't that what it says? But the Word of God tells us that we are to obey God and do His will if we are ever to get to heaven. And if you want to get to heaven, I don't care how good you look. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how fine of clothes you wear, or how nice a car you drive, because you can't drive to heaven and you don't get dressed to go to heaven. When you go down in the ground, 6 feet under, when they begin to throw dirt on top of you, you see, I can't go with you any further. Your wife or your husband can't travel with you any further. Your kids can't travel with you any further. The church can't go with you any further. But the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can be a guide to help you. Jesus can get over in the casket with you. But God's gospel, the Word of God, is where we need to be today. And there are those folk who are still saying, well, I don't think Jesus was real. Well, I tell you what. I'll take a real Jesus over a fake living God any day. I'll take Jesus over any man that wants to put himself up against Jesus, because I know he can't stand. You see, man can't change the sky from a bright sunshine to a dark and a cloudy day. God, a man can't make the rain fall from the heavens, but God can. A man can't tell me how to change from night to daytime, but God can. We can set our clocks, but God still holds time in His hand. We can change it from Central Standard Time to Daylight Savings Time, but it's still God's hour. It's not ours. It's still time to look unto the Master and to study God's gospel, study God's word. Somebody said, well, everything is going to be all right one day. And yes, it will be all right one day. The gospel is going to help you to determine if it'll be all right. And consider the Bible, if you will, a book of instructions, a directions manual, if you will. It'll point you directly to heaven if you allow it to. But if you're not careful, you can wind up going to hell. And folk don't like for you to tell them that they can wind up going to hell. But you can. You can wind up going to hell, and you can go to hell if you're not careful. So how do I prevent going to hell? What can I do, church? What is there for me to do that I may gain heaven as my home? Well, you can come to God. You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized right up here in this watery grave. You'll meet the blood where the blood and the water has met, and you'll become washed clean for your sin. You'll have the gospel of Christ in you. But what if I did that 25 years ago, but I went astray? Well, you need to come back home. How do I come back home? Ask the Lord to forgive you wherever you went astray at, and then ask the church to pray for you as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.